Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. All right, Phil and I wanted to take a minute and let you know about something cool. Phil, you ready to let people know about something cool?
I am ready.
We have something called the Intentional Leadership Retreat. It is in Lake Tahoe, and it is from Tuesday, June 20th through Friday, June 23rd. Tell us what it's about.
Well, everyone might not know it's Lake Tahoe, California, but it is.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the things we love to do in Intentional, we feel called to strengthen the local church through helping parents, but also helping pastors. And so if you're a pastor, lead pastor, associate pastor, and you want to come and bring some of your elders or ministry team leaders, just for a week of refreshment and encouragement and teaching. We have sessions in the morning, sessions at night, and it's just one of the most beautiful places in all of California that you have the afternoons free to hang out and get some rest, hang out with your team. And so we do this, so be our third year. I think we've done it.
Third year. And a great announcement is Jerry Sitzer is going to be speaking there this year. You and Diane are going to be there. John Mark Comer, your son, is doing a Q&R. It's going to be a great time. So join us this coming June 20th through the 23rd. The link is in the show notes, or you can always go to intentionalparents.org/leadership retreat. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Before we get into today's episode, we just want to give you a heads up that this is part two of an episode called How to Teach Your Children to Understand Who They Are, Attunement, Emotional Dysregulation, and Five Things Your Kids Need. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first part, I'd encourage you to pause, go back and listen to part one, because that's going to give you a ton of context. But today is going to be walking through those last three through five of the five things your kids need. Also, thank you for everybody who has been rating, subscribing, and also leaving comments on the podcast. And if you haven't had a chance to do that, would you even pause for a moment and even rate, subscribe? It just helps us in such a big way. So enjoy part two of How to Teach Your Children to Understand Who They Are, Attunement, Emotional Dysregulation, and Five Things Your Kids Need. There's so many things we could go on that one. But the third one of how to help your children understand who they are, the third one, teach them how to identify and ask for what they need. And this is a really important one because some kids are great. Some kids, though, are great at this. They're like, I need this, this, and this. And they're able to know.
Yeah.
But then there's other kids that are quieter kids. I know for our son, Duke, he does not want to inconvenience people. He has, Diane, I know that's you. I know that's you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, like, if he senses that he is inconveniencing us, he will kind of like distance, but he also gets really bumped. Like I found this out the other day when I was like, he wanted to go to youth group and I was like, okay, well, let's see if we can get you a ride there so that I can pick you up or whatever, because it was just like most of the time we'll try to do like ride share. So you're not having to do both ways. And he was like really kind of bummed about that. Yeah. But he didn't say it at first. He was just bummed that, you know, like, oh, I didn't know it was such a big deal to take me and pick me up. And I'm like, Wait, it's not a big deal. I just was saying, could you figure it out? No, but then he came to you
and said, I'm feeling kind of offended because I feel like you're making me feel bad about the fact that you have to take me. And so we were unpacking for him. Which I wasn't meaning to,
but yeah.
That's not what we meant. It's not wrong for you to need a ride. It's not wrong for you to ask for a ride. You're not inconveniencing us. And it's okay to inconvenience people sometimes. That's okay. You're worth it.
So good.
But I also said it was inconvenient because that was also the truth. I was like, it would be helpful if you also had a ride, but that doesn't mean I'm going to not let you go because of that factor. It was like, no, but I didn't want to lie to him. I was like, this is inconvenient. Like, it's a whole extra deal.
Yeah.
And I will totally make that sacrifice so you can go. But if somebody can take a ride.
I would like to suggest that sometimes we as parents give off those kind of messages without meaning to at all when our lives are packed so full that if a child spills their milk, instead of just being a quick mop up because kids are clumsy, it becomes a big deal because we just mopped the floor and it's been a month between moppings and your life is so full and you are just so crazy that your kids hear you're inconveniencing me.
Yes.
Phil's laughing. He's literally can't even hold it in. He can't even hold it in.
Is this sounding a little too comerish?
You're sounding like Diane. It's like we got home from, you know, really busy. We spoke in California, got back, went over to Diane Seminary, came back. We had our daughter flew up there to a painting project. And so we both knew the house was not clean and we hadn't vacuumed yet. And then we were just about ready to go to bed and you did your thing where you cleaned the sink perfectly.
Oh, yes.
You
cleaned
the stove perfectly. She looked at me. She goes, I just cleaned the stove the sink, which I mean, no means don't touch it.
That's right. That's right.
So don't mess up my perfect sink.
It's the one thing I can control
and
right
now. And that's exactly what we do to our kids.
I just wanted to eat some ice cream.
It's one thing to do it to your husband.
Yeah.
But absolutely, you not wanting to communicate to an adolescent, especially that they're taking up too much room in your life.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go back to what I say all the time. Slow down your life.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of that. You can't just keep adding things to your life or you become that parent who if you bump them, you spill ugliness onto them or even just a kids are so in tune with their parents. Even just the slightest bit of impatience will take a child like Duke and make him retreat like a turtle.
Yeah.
And
it's a great visual, the turtle analogy. That's a great example.
This is just a little aside, but if your kid wants to go to youth group and you're in a good church, get them there.
Absolutely.
You were our first youth pastor at Solid Rock, and it just breaks your heart when parents are just that, no, I'm not going to take you. I want to watch whatever on TV. And the kid's trying to get a ride. And, you know, we've seen that so much.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, you would never do that. You would to get a ride share is great. But, I mean, you guys are good at it. If not, you're taking him.
Well, I just took a van full of kids to youth group last week. And I had so much fun in the 15-minute drive there. They're playing 80s music. They're playing this, like, hilarious Christian rap music and this whole like country I think we played. Duke like whips out a phone in the back, turns on the flashlight and is like waving it in the air dancing. And I found myself like on the drive home like, oh Lord, thank you for these years and please help us get to these years with the ones who are younger than this because I'm having the time of my life. I think it's really fun.
But you know, it comes down to though what Phil and Diane, you guys have always said to us, and I'm thankful that we listened to you even though we couldn't really see the fruit of it, which is do the work while they're early.
Yes.
And then the corrections will be pretty minimal when they're older. And we have experienced that tenfold with our kids getting older. And even with Duke the other day, it was so funny. We had this moment where he was just being, he's 13. So he did something just silly. And I told him, I was like, bro, like, don't do this. And if you do it again, there's going to be consequences. So let's just stay away from this. Okay. Yeah. He's like, yep, got it. Next day happens again. Nothing major at all. And so I was like, I have him come in my room. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. I told you that there's going to be consequences and, you know, I love you and I care for you and I don't really care to like hand out consequences, but you know that these kinds of actions have these kinds of consequences. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to like have to give you a consequence. He's like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. So I was like, okay, you're going to power wash the whole backyard because I didn't want to do it. I was like, and you're going to do it today and you have to do it. Like you have to do it within this time frame. And he's like, oh man.
Can I do it at like 2 o'clock? I'm happy to do it. Can I do it at 2? I was like, that's fine. You can do it at 2 o'clock. And he did it. He went out there. He did the whole thing. Yeah. And it was just so much. I mean, it took years to get there, FYI. Yes. So if any parents mm-hmm. like, that's not my situation. It wasn't ours for a long time either. But it got to the point where he wasn't surprised. He knew, man, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. He knew there's probably going to be some consequences. He knew that he didn't want to go power wash anything, but that was part of it. And that was
Knew him getting outside and doing something physical is really good for him.
Oh, yeah. And for Duke, doing a job lights him up in some way is unusual, but it does make him kind of all come together. But this is where I
was thinking the whole time we're talking, like, knowing your kids.
Yeah. Yes. Help
because
them identify. Yeah.
Teaching them how to advocate for what they need mm-hmm. or not over advocate for what they need. The ones who it's like super easy mm-hmm. teaching them, which we're going to get to, like accepting other people's boundaries and other people's no. But you have to know your kids. Yeah. And some kids, especially the quieter ones, especially the ones that follow the rules, this might be totally hiding and you might not know that they're afraid to ask for what they need or they're okay with asking for some things, but they're once they feel like it's too much, they're never going to ask. Like it takes some uncovering.
It does.
I didn't really understand this about Duke until maybe a year or two ago. And it's such a huge part of me that I'm like deeply trying to heal because I'm like debilitated by asking for what I need. And I don't want that to be his story. Mm-hmm. And so helping him, so I feel like he needs the counter message all the time. You're not too much.
Yeah.
You're not too much and inconveniencing me too much. Yeah. It's okay for you to ask for what you need.
Some kids
need the message more.
Yeah. And so teaching them how to say, hey, it's okay to ask what you need, making a culture. I think that for this, it's creating a culture where your kids feel free to ask for things and shame it or overreactions or whatever are not the response, that you create an ecosystem.
One quick thing to add. In school right now, I'm learning about leadership in team.
Yeah.
And so much of what we're talking about is, you know, a family is a team.
Yeah.
And if your child doesn't feel like they can ask for something, then they are an individual, not part of the team.
Yes.
But if we're creating a family culture where every single person can speak up and say, I'm overwhelmed right now. Could we slow things down? Or could I stay home tonight? Or... you know, could somebody help me with this? I'm overwhelmed. That's creating somebody who knows how to function on a team.
Yes.
And churches are notorious for not doing this. You know what I mean?
I know.
So we want to have this healthy environment where somebody's overwhelmed and they know that it's safe to ask their team, whatever that team is, around them to help them with something.
Yes. And that takes the really parents good. And or the leader to be emotionally aware and healthy in themselves that they're not going to even if someone does ask something that's triggering, that they're going to be aware enough to go, I know what's happening in me and I can put this aside for a moment to address what's going on to create the culture that I hope to create. And as parents, that's often very hard.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
So the fourth thing is to help them establish healthy boundaries with others. This is a really important part of helping them understand who they are, help them establish healthy boundaries with other people. So we don't need to go too far into this one, but like give us a couple examples I'm thinking of a couple things, but a couple examples of what it looks like to establish healthy boundaries with others. So we're thinking like friends, people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. One is just to be able to say, no, I'm not able, without having to give good reasons. Mm-hmm. Somebody taught me years ago that you can decline an invitation without giving a reason.
Yeah.
To say, no, I'm not available. I can't make it to that. I'm so sorry. Could we do it along this schedule mm-hmm. instead? Mm-hmm. Whereas my inclination is to say yes, because I know it makes people happy if I say yes. Yeah. And I get approval. If it's not even that it actually makes them happy. Yeah. Makes them happy with me.
Yes, yeah. Which makes you feel good.
And that's even pretty narcissistic view of things. But to say no sometimes, because the reality is, if I say yes to too many things, I'm not going to be a person of love. And that's yes. who I want to be. And everybody has different, Andy Kobler say, your what?
Window
your
of
window
tolerance.
Of tolerance. And, you know, there are times in our lives where we just don't have a big window of tolerance. And we have to be so self-aware that we need to be able to say, no, that's too busy for me.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, Phil's always everybody trying to different. Help me with yeah. this, because I feel like I should be able to do more.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I can't do more and still be this person of love and patience and graciousness. Yes. And my brain is a thinking brain, and I need lots of white space. Hmm. That's what we mean by trying to help your children learn who they are, help them, and yeah. even to establish healthy boundaries with others. It's not that they're being mean and shutting other people out. It's they're just saying, no, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And obviously we're not encouraging you to let your kids do that with you. Like,
no.
Obedience doesn't really work for me, mom and dad.
I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like cleaning my room, even though you asked me to. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of out. That's not what I mean. I was just a clarifier, because I think it can be easily, you know, misunderstood.
Well, you know, it's good you said that, because Diane and I recently read an article in a paper by a certified parenting expert.
Yeah.
And it was just talking about your 3-year-old. Well, would you like to brush your teeth tonight, or you want mommy to brush your teeth? The kid said, I don't want to brush my teeth. Okay, then you should just don't brush their teeth. Well, carry that on, like, you know, 15.
Gosh, I know.
Well, I'd really like you to go to youth group tonight. Well, I don't want to go to youth group. Okay, well, then we won't go to youth group. You know,
yes.
The world just doesn't work that way.
So you are the parent.
Yeah.
And yes, you should be self-aware of where you're at and, you know, take care of your own care. But just remembering, like you said, doing the hard work when they're little is going to help them really succeed in life
later on. It really will.
So just a reminder, you are the parent, and that should make us fall on our faces before God and say, Lord, help me, because I need wisdom. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be obviously a little bit different as your kids get older, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little hard to understand, like, create boundaries with Sloan when she's 4.5. Like, that's a little bit. Yeah. So this is a little bit when they get older, but I think that's a really important part for them to understand who they are. And fifthly, is to help them respect a healthy no they might receive from another person. Yes. A healthy no, because for example, as parents, we say no all the time, right? But how can you, and I think we have a lot on this, but help them respect a healthy no from other people. So what does that look like? Just for a couple examples. I know, Elizabeth, you had shared one. Oh, or Diane, you were saying about, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You had an example, I think.
So you have a particular personality of a child who's pushy.
Yeah.
Okay. They're always, you know, what was the old saying? Give them an inch and they'll take a mile.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There are people who in their soul, there's a little dissatisfaction, and they're trying always to find ways to satisfy. And you have to say a lot of no's to that person. What we want to do is, by being willing to say no to that child, say, not solve it for that child.
Yeah.
I'm bored. Okay. Well, here's some suggestions, but making it very clear that their boredom is a lack of creativity and they need to solve this one themselves.
Yes.
This is a elementary age child.
Yeah.
You're teaching them to be able to accept that they're responsible for themselves, instead of just being like a leech taking something from other people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think, you know, we do teach that in those early years, one of the things you're trying to integrate into your child's way of thinking is that they can accept no, just a plain old no.
Yep.
Now, we spend the rest of our lives honestly, learning how to accept no. But yeah. if the kids who get some foundation in being able to say, okay, that's a no that actually means no. That's not the no that means, well, if I push hard enough and long enough,
I can actually manipulate
loosen up that no a little bit. Or one of our children had major willful temper tantrums. It was always the same thing. It wasn't an actual emotional meltdown. It was, if I push hard enough on mom particularly, I think, and if I embarrass her in public, I think I'll get what I want. Mm-hmm. And it was a very calculated. You could just tell it was calculated. So teaching that particular child that just no is enough was challenging.
Yeah.
It was really challenging. It was horrifying at times. But that's a gift we give to that kind of a child. Mm-hmm. It really is a gift for him to be able to say, or her to be able to say, you know what? It's okay for that person to say no to me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking even in some of the horrible things that are happening in our world where date rape is happening in a situation where maybe they started getting a little bit physical and then the girl says no and the boy cannot accept that no. It's so important that we teach our children to respect another person's no.
Yes.
And that no actually means no. It isn't some sort of facade or game that somebody's playing. And it can get down to horrible critical things like date rape, or it can get down to just your child being so irritating to everybody around them because they're constantly pushing for more.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. I think if, you know, one conversation we're having with one of our kids who is more that bent, who accepting no is hard. And she's a little older, so there's more conversation around it. And a lot of saying that ability to advocate for yourself and ask for what you need is a gift.
Yeah.
It's partially how you're wired. And it's going to actually serve you really well in our world today. But it can very quickly cross the line to being pushy and to not accepting somebody's no and to try to push somebody into something. So where your work's going to have to come in is being aware of that because we don't want this kid to never be able to ask. Like, we're not trying to like snuff it out. Yes. Yeah. Because in our culture, in our time, some of that's really going to aid this kid. But teaching them how to use it and how to, when to know, to read the situation, it's time for me to back off now.
You know,
is huge. And I think it's something that has to evolve as we're parenting. And there's, it's a little black and white when they're younger. But one thing I've seen, and I do this so often, and I'm seeing how frustrated it makes my kids and how frustrated it makes me. Because I don't always feel like I have the energy because I have lots of kids and they're asking for stuff all day long. And I can't say yes to everything. And when I'm really overwhelmed, I just start to say no to everything, which makes them ask even more for things. But sometimes when I'm trying to avoid the conflict or the inevitable discipline that might need to happen when they don't like that I've said no, I will leave ambiguity. Well, let me think about it.
Yes, me too.
Well, maybe.
You don't want to be the bad guy.
Well, let me talk to your dad about
it.
Yes. Well, but really it's I'm being kind of lazy in that moment.
Yes.
And sometimes I just don't have the energy and I do need to put it off for a little bit.
It is so good to hear you say this because I didn't realize you were so aware of that. That's great.
I'm becoming very aware.
I don't even have to
but
say
anything. But I'm recognizing I'm actually doing like such a disservice to them.
Yes.
Because I'm leaving this open thing.
But it's tricky.
And then when I come in and say no, then they're confused. I've actually like really confused them. It literally happened last night. And it was a little bit of like one kid was saying, I for sure said something. And I was like, I don't remember saying that. I remember saying this. But it left all this like lack of clarity. And then I had to give the hard no when we had a house full of people. And I should have given the hard no 3 hours before. And then there's some stuff where we need to, maybe our natural response is going to be no. And we need to actually wait
consider
and say,
with, you should say yes.
I might be able to say yes to that. That might actually be an easy yes, not a definite no.
But our point is we are trying to raise children who are aware of themselves and know who they are and are able to fully live into the person God that made them to be.
Yes.
Phil, close us out. What's your final thought?
Want to get into this right now, but listening to you and Elizabeth talk, I thought you might want to say a word about appeal.
I thought about that too.
Maybe we've done a podcast on that before. Maybe we need to do another one. But
mention it.
Basically, the biblical issue is here. God has ordained authority.
Yeah.
I mean,
which people don't like.
He has all authority. Jesus has all authority. Yes. And parents are given authority, spiritual authority.
Yes.
And it's not to tear your kids down. It's to build them up.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to teach their kids. In Romans 13, there's government is an authority. And there's a proper use of authority. And there's abuses of authority. But teaching our kids, that a parent may say no is important. But then how, you know, what we teach on the teenage years is teaching your teenager the power of appeal, but then you guys are saying you're using that with younger kids. So I feel like this whole topic of no, being able to accept a no, is tied to teaching your children about authority, and what you do with when you're under authority is you can appeal.
Yeah.
But you can't mouth off or challenge or say rebel against, because it's not God's way and it will never work and it will bring brokenness.
And a proper appeal, which you guys teach, is bringing new information that maybe wasn't brought up before. New information of why it might be important for you to consider this again. So that's important to point out. Appealing isn't just asking again. It's bringing new information that wasn't maybe presented before.
Yes. And it's really useful for authority. It's not useful for friendships. So I think in this last point, we are also trying to help them respect a healthy no they receive from another person, just even their friends.
Yes.
Their friend says, no, you don't just keep coming back and trying and trying and trying. Mm-hmm. You're respecting their no, as they actually don't want to do that right now.
Yes.
And that's their right.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful part of it all. So
it's both.
Five things that we want to help our kids grow in, to help them understand who they are. And I hope this was helpful today. I know that there's a handful of things that you might want to write down. We'll put these different links of the books in the show notes. And we'll also put the five things there. So if you're like taking notes, you're like, what are the words? You can have them there too. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram @intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.